Chapter 4 Parts and Elements. A young monk was a student of Venerable Sariputta, one of the Buddha's senior bhikkhus. Since the young man was troubled by lust, Sariputta instructed him to go to the forest to meditate on the impurities of the body. Despite his devoted efforts, the monk found that his lust was increasing. So Sariputta took him to see the Buddha. The Buddha handed the young monk a lily and told him to focus his mind on the flower's bright color. Using this method, the monk attained advanced states of concentration. Because he was very pleased with the Buddha and the meditation he had suggested, the young monk developed a tremendous attachment to the Buddha. As he was concentrating, he remembered the Buddha's handsome, radiant, serene, and majestic body, his sweet voice, and his wise-looking face. Suddenly, the Buddha's image appeared in his mind, and he heard the Buddha's voice saying, "Destroy attachment to self, as you could an autumn lily in your fist. Cultivate the path to peace, the nirvana, nibbana, taught by the well-gone one." When he opened his eyes, the young monk saw that the beautiful lily, once so bright, fresh, and lively, had withered away. So he meditated on the impermanence of the beauty, freshness, and life of the lily. Reflecting that his own handsome, young, healthy, and strong body would grow old and wither, just as the flower had, he attained liberation from attachment to his body, feelings, perceptions, thoughts, and consciousness. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, we normally feel proud of the parts of our body that appear handsome or beautiful, and displeased by those that seem old or unattractive. Judgments like these lead to attachment to the parts that we like, such as our shiny hair, and hatred of those we dislike, such as our crooked teeth. This chapter focuses on learning to look at the body differently. Through mindfulness, we train ourselves to see the body impartially as a collection of 32 parts. Not just the external parts we can see in the mirror, but also the internal parts, such as the bones, liver, and blood. As we discover, each of these parts is either solid, like the earth element, or liquid, like the water element. Like all other material objects, each of these parts is always changing. In fact, they are all as impermanent as the autumn lily in the young monk's vision of the Buddha. In practical terms, meditation on the body's parts and elements opens the mind to accepting our body as it is right now, without our usual emotional reactions. It helps us overcome pride and self-hatred, and regard our body with the balanced mind of equanimity. The Buddha gave an example to illustrate this point. Suppose there is a bag full of different types of grain: rice, hill rice, paddy rice, lentils, green peas, barley, sesame seed, and mustard seed. When a man with good eyesight looks into the bag, he identifies the various grains, saying, "This is rice, hill rice, paddy rice, lentils, green peas, barley, sesame seed, and mustard seed." He does not say, "This is barley, I hate barley." Nor does he say, "This is sesame seed, I love sesame seed." We train in mindfulness so that we can see ourselves clearly, like the man with good eyesight. We discover that because every part of the body is subject to illness, injury, and death, no part can give us lasting satisfaction. Most important, we find that there is no being or person in any of the parts of the body or mind that we can identify as me. From this, we learn that the body is selfless. With the Buddha's example in mind, we might call this method of meditation going against the grain, as it runs counter to our ordinary way of viewing the body. We should approach this subject of meditation cautiously, since meditating on our body or the bodies of others without proper mindfulness can lead to attachment, as happened to the student of Sariputta. Other emotions, such as dislike, even hatred, can also occur if we are unmindful. Our intention should be to see the parts of the body as they are without distortion, and to know that they are neither beautiful nor ugly, but simply pieces of an ever-changing process. The first five parts. Traditionally, the body is divided into 32 parts. The whole list is given a little later in this chapter. To begin, we focus our mindfulness on just five parts: the head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, and skin. We start with these parts because they are so conspicuous. When we meet a person, these catch our eye first. We also spend a lot of money to decorate and improve these parts. We change our hair color, whiten our teeth, and get facial treatments to feel more attractive, but also perhaps to deceive others about our real appearance. We can easily use these five parts to stand for the whole body, since every other part can be found between the hair on the head and the nails on the toes. Mindful contemplation of even one of these parts can be enough for some people to gain insight. So, for example, when we reflect with clear comprehension on our head hair, we see that it is always changing. We then apply this insight to all other parts of the body, recognizing that what happens to the visible parts happens to the invisible ones as well. Here are some ways to begin meditating mindfully about the first five parts. Head hair. Since hair is so visible and so present to our minds, it's easy to see the changes that take place in our hair day by day and year by year. On Monday, our hair may be soft and pretty looking, but by Tuesday, if we haven't washed it, it can be stringy or even smelly. Over the years, hair changes even more. Our dark brown hair turns grey or white, or it falls out, prematurely showing our scalp. We can deepen this insight by thinking about how easily our attitude toward hair shifts, depending on where it is. Does it make sense to be proud of the hair on the head, given that we throw out a whole bowl of soup if one hair falls into it? And though we find hair in our food disgusting, hair can also be used for holy purposes. According to legend, a princess known as Hemamala hid the Buddha's tooth in her hair knot so that nobody could steal it, and brought it to Sri Lanka. When we reflect on the nature of hair with clear comprehension, it doesn't matter whether the hair is on the head or in the bowl of soup or hiding a holy relic. Our attitude toward it is the same. Body hair. Our attitude toward hair on the body is similarly changeable. A man can be vain about his beard, cutting it, twisting it, growing it, and shaving it to make it look attractive. But the same beard would be repulsive if it were separated from the body. Women also spend time and money changing the shape of their eyebrows and removing unwanted body hair. Considering these points, we recognize hair is just hair. Wherever on the body it is, or isn't, it has no intrinsic meaning. Moreover, the hair on the body is not mine. It is not I and not myself. It is as impermanent as everything else in this body and mind. It vanishes. It is empty. Nails. So long as nails are on our fingers and toes, they are attractive. Some people decorate them colourfully to improve their appearance. Nails are useful because they protect our toes and fingertips. But toenail clippings are certainly not very beautiful. Fingernails collect dirt when we work with our hands and dead skin when we scratch our head, the soles of our feet, or our ears. Young, strong, and healthy-looking nails become old, yellow, and brittle as we age. Fungus, ingrown nails, and other conditions are the source of pain and suffering. Thinking about nails in this way, we recognize that they are impermanent and unsatisfactory. They are not I, and not myself. Teeth. Teeth are more useful than head hair, body hair, and nails. We are very happy when our teeth are strong and healthy, but teeth can make us very unhappy. Many people are afraid of going to the dentist. We can easily recall the last time we sat in the dentist's chair to have a tooth pulled. Once the tooth comes out, no matter how useful, strong, and beautiful it was, it becomes ugly and useless. Though the dentist puts the tooth in our palm, we don't want to bring it home. Like every other part of the body, teeth are impermanent and unsatisfactory. Though it was once in my mouth, a tooth is not myself. Skin. Skin can be a sign of beauty, but only if it is a certain colour and is unwrinkled. Of course, the colour that is considered beautiful changes depending on where we live. Skin is also useful. We experience hardness, softness, roughness, and smoothness because of touch information we receive through the skin. Skin also regulates body temperature. When we are hot, the skin expands, and the body cools itself through perspiration that pours through the skin. Skin-to-skin contact is so important to newborn babies that they can die if they're not touched. But the skin is also a source of suffering. Rashes and other skin diseases make us very uncomfortable. In spite of skincare treatments and cosmetics, skin also wrinkles, sags, and darkens as we age. Every day our skin dries up and dies. Ordinary house dust is full of dead skin. Many people experience discrimination because of their skin colour. Considering these points, we conclude, like every other part of the body, skin is neither beautiful nor ugly. It is useful, but also a cause of suffering. It is therefore impermanent and unsatisfactory. It is not mine. I am not this. This is not myself. Mindfulness of the 32 parts. The parts of the body we have been considering so far are the first five of the 32 parts. These are traditionally divided into groups. The first 20 parts belong to the body's earth element. These are divided into four groups of five. The last 12 parts belong to the body's water element. They are divided into two groups of six. What follows is the traditional division. Below that, I suggest a method for getting started with mindfulness meditation on the 32 parts of the body. 20 parts belonging to the body's earth element. Head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, skin. Flesh, sinews, bones, bone marrow, kidneys. Heart, liver, diaphragm, spleen, lungs. Large intestines, small intestines, contents of the stomach, feces, brain. 12 parts belonging to the body's water element. Bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fat. Tears, lymph, saliva, mucus, joint fluid, urine. Key points for meditation on the 32 parts of the body. Meditating on the parts of the body can help you take care of yourself calmly when things go wrong. Sometimes it is possible to accelerate healing by focusing your mind on a diseased part to send it positive body chemicals. To do so, you need strong attention, concentration, and visualization, which this meditation helps to develop. Another benefit is that when you understand the true nature of the body, you are not upset even by the thought of death. Begin meditating by cultivating loving friendliness toward all beings. Remind yourself that your intention in meditating on the 32 parts of the body is to overcome pride and self-hatred for your own body, and lust and loathing for the bodies of others. You want to regard all bodies and their parts with the balanced mind of equanimity. Meditate on the first five parts belonging to the earth element using thoughts similar to those I have suggested. Stay with these five until they become very clear in your mind. Then meditate on the next five parts. Contemplate these the same way. For instance, remember how important your bones are. They hold you upright when you stand and make walking and all other physical activities possible. But bones can also be the source of suffering, as anyone who has broken an arm or a leg has experienced. Next, combine the first two groups together and meditate on the first 10. Continue to add other groups until you complete the 20 parts of the body belonging to the earth element. Keep in mind that simply repeating the names of the body parts does not do any good. Use your imagination to visualize those parts that are hidden under the skin. Consider each with thoughts similar to those we used for the first five. Then add the first group of six liquid parts of the body and meditate on them until they become clear in your mind. Finally, add the remaining group of six. As you meditate on the last 12 parts, Remember that none of them makes you especially proud or helps you make a good impression on others. However, like all other parts of the body, your liquid parts are essential and useful. Remembering this point helps you to overcome revulsion. If any part is not clear to you, drop it for the moment and focus on those parts that are clear. Once you have established mindfulness on the clear parts, go back to the hazy parts and meditate until they too become clear. How long you should meditate on each part or group varies. Some people take longer than others to achieve mindfulness and clear comprehension. Remember that your aim is to recognize that each of the 32 parts of the body is impermanent. Because it is subject to growth, decay, disease, and death, it cannot give you lasting satisfaction. Finally, recognize that each is not mine, not I, and not myself. Mindfulness of the body's elements. We have already mentioned the four elements, earth, water, heat, and air, in connection with mindfulness of breathing and mindfulness of postures. As I have explained, the 32 parts of the body are divided between the earth element and water element. The parts connected to these elements are tangible, which makes them easier to use to develop mindfulness. The heat element and air element are harder to visualize. However, meditating on these elements is also important to mindfulness of the body because they are responsible for essential life processes such as digestion and circulation. The body's elements are not simply building blocks like the particles studied by physicists. When the body's aggregates are attached to the elements, the body exists as a living, breathing being. Perhaps an example will help clarify this point. Suppose a butcher kills a pig and cuts it up into four parts. When he sells the meat, the butcher no longer has the concept of pig. He is simply selling pork, ham or bacon or butt or some other part. Before the pig became pork, it was a living being with form, feelings, perceptions, perhaps some thoughts, and consciousness. These aggregates were bound to the elements. But when the pig is no longer alive, just the four elements remain. The same is true of human beings. In life, the aggregates are linked to the elements. Every activity, thinking, breathing, perceiving, willing, and becoming conscious of countless things, arises depending on the combination of aggregates and elements. The feelings, perceptions, thoughts, and consciousness of this life pass away with this body. Without these aggregates, the body is like a log or a rock. All that's left are the elements. Thinking in this way, it is easy to see that there is no difference between the elements inside the body and those outside. Both are impermanent, suffering, and without self. Let's look more closely at the four elements to help us develop deeper mindfulness of the body and its processes. Earth. The earth element occupies space. It is hard or soft. It can expand and contract. It is visible, tangible, and perceptible. It has shape, size, and color. That is all we can know of the earth element. Although we can see a body, we cannot see the earth element separately within that body. Like all elements, the earth element is impermanent. No matter how large, strong, colorful, or powerful it is, the earth element is always changing. There is no way to stop this natural process. However, nobody can make the earth element disappear. Consider planet Earth. We may urinate on it, defecate on it, spit on it, dig into it, throw trash on it, or clean it. Still, the earth element is neither disappointed with us nor pleased with us. It goes on changing in its own way, in its own time, unconcerned about what we do to it. We should, however, emulate the earth element in one important way. We should be as firm as earth in our determination to develop mindfulness. When we meditate mindfully on the earth element in connection with one of the parts of the body, we feel the touch of hardness or softness, expansion or contraction. This feeling can be pleasant, painful, or neutral. As we pay attention to a particular sensation, it fades away and another feeling arises. This process repeats again and again. If we don't identify with any of these feelings, they pass away, leaving simple awareness. We are quiet and peaceful without emotional reactions. we have equanimity. Water. The water element is liquid and soft. It flows downward. Every part of the body needs water to survive, as do all living things. Water is characterized by cohesion. Powdery substances like cement and sand will not stick together unless water is added. Because of this quality, the water element in the body cannot be separated totally from other elements. When water predominates in one part, we say that it belongs to the water element. But saliva, blood, and other liquid parts of the body contain the earth, heat, and air elements as well. Water is powerful enough to wash away cities and penetrate even the strongest rocks. When this power is harnessed, it can cut through steel and produce electricity. We emulate the water element when we harness our concentration to penetrate a meditation subject, such as a part of the body, and recognize its impermanence, suffering, and selflessness. Water also washes away impurities, just as meditation cleans and purifies the mind. But the flow of water can also be soft and gentle. When we meditate, we should be as flexible as water to adapt to the environment without complaints and flow with people and situations without friction, without compromising our moral, ethical principles and mindfulness to blend with people who are immoral, unethical, and unmindful. When we meditate mindfully on the water element, we feel the moisture that has penetrated the earth element. This feeling can be pleasant, painful, or neutral. If we do not identify with them, these feelings fade away. We remain in a quiet and peaceful state of equanimity without emotional reactions. Heat. Though none of the 32 body parts belongs to the heat element, the body needs the right proportion of heat to maintain good health. Heat digests our food, maintains body temperature, and causes the body to grow. We experience the heat element when we feel warmth, radiation, or a burning sensation in some part of the body. Heat is extremely useful. We use fire to cook and to warm our homes. Fire also burns garbage and other unnecessary stuff, just as we use meditation to burn impurities in the mind. Fire can also be dangerous and destructive. It keeps burning until it reduces things to ashes. We put out a dangerous external fire with water. Similarly, when the internal fire of greed, lust, or anger threatens to destroy our peace of mind, we use mindfulness and concentration to extinguish it. When we meditate on the heat element, we feel the touch of gentle heat, too much heat, or neither. This feeling can be pleasant, painful, or neutral. If we don't identify with these feelings, they pass away, leaving us with awareness, peace, and equanimity. Air. The function of the body's air element is oscillation and movement. Air occupies any space in the body. It moves in and out of the nostrils as we breathe. It moves within the lungs, stomach, and intestines. It circulates blood and other substances. It exits the body when we burp or expel gas. The external air element is very useful. It cools the body like a gentle breeze and blows away dust. When the Buddha was surveying the world for people to listen to his teachings, he thought, "There must be some people who have a little dust in their eyes. By getting in touch with the cool air of Dharma, they would wipe the dust from their eyes and see the truth." We meditate with the aim of blowing away the dust of mental impurities. As the Buddha said to his son Rahula, "Meditate like air." When we meditate mindfully on the air element, we feel the touch of gentle air, too much air, or neither. This feeling can be pleasant, painful, or neutral. As we pay attention to the particular feeling, we notice it fading away. Then another feeling arises. If we do not identify with any of these feelings, they pass away, leaving us to awareness and equanimity. We remain quiet and peaceful. When we meditate on the 32 parts of the body, we consider as well their connections to the four elements. For instance, we recall that blood cleans the body of wastes because it flows like water and moves like air. As we meditate on the parts and elements, we keep in mind that every part and element is impermanent, unsatisfactory, and selfless. As the Buddha said in his Sutta on the elements, Bhikkhu, I am is a conceiving. I am this is a conceiving. I shall be is a conceiving. I shall not be is a conceiving. I shall be possessed of form is a conceiving. I shall be formless is a conceiving. By overcoming all conceptions, Bhikkhu, one is called a sage at peace. And the sage at peace is not born, does not age, does not die. He is not shaken and is not agitated, for there is nothing present in him by which he might be born. Not being born, how could he age? Not aging, how could he die? Not dying, how could he be shaken? Not being shaken, why should he be agitated? Deep awareness of this truth ends our suffering.